some of you may be wondering why for 3 weeks in a row now, all of our sermons have had beyond in the title. And for those of you who've been around, you might be thinking, I thought we did this in January. I thought this was over now. We heard enough about beyond. And for those of you who are new and may not know about the Beyond Initiative, throughout the month of January, we had this church-wide initiative, and it was rooted in Ephesians 3:20 that says, glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. And so throughout the month of January, we as a congregation really listen closely to the ways that we think God is leading us and calling us to go beyond, both as a congregation as also as individuals. And so from a congregation standpoint, we talked a lot about our mission to make disciples for the transformation of the world and the ways that God is calling us as a church and a community to go beyond what we are already doing. And so one of the ways that we're going to do that is by expanding our sanctuary and revitalizing our children's ministry space and building a new building. And we are so excited for the ways that God will do beyond through the expansion of our facilities. But we also talked a lot about individual discipleship and the ways that God was calling us as individuals to go beyond. And as United Methodists, when you join the church, you promise to serve the church through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. And we think these five practices are essential to discipleship formation. And so in the Beyond Initiative, we focus a lot on growth as disciples through financial generosity. And we have already heard and shared some of the stories we've heard about people who took steps in faith, who went beyond maybe what they thought they could do in their generosity and the ways that they have already grown and that God has blessed them. And we are excited to continue to hear and share your stories as we continue through the next couple years. And so we decided, though, as we've been talking as a staff, that financial generosity is not the only way that we grow as disciples. And so we've done a couple sermons the last few weeks that have all been beyond sermons to talk about other aspects of discipleship. And so 2 weeks ago, Pastor Michael preached, and the title was Beyond What? And he reminded us all what a disciple is, and then more importantly, talked about the why and about our mission and about why God has called us and why it is important for us to live out our mission and to be disciples. And then last week, it was Pentecost, and we talked about the Holy Spirit, and we talked about witness and the ways that the Holy Spirit comes upon us and allows us to be witnesses to Christ in the world. And so today, our sermon title is Beyond Words, and we're going to talk about prayer. And I think that if I were to ask all of you, that really if you were to poll any Christians, that most would say or agree that prayer is an essential practice of what it means to be a disciple. But I think that if you were to really press people and maybe to press some of you and ask more questions, that we might find that there's some confusion or uncertainty about how exactly to pray or maybe why we pray. And so today we are going to look more closely at that. We're going to do so by reading two different scriptures. They're both very short, Philippians chapter 4 and Romans chapter 8. So I'm going to read both of those for you, beginning with Philippians 4, and this is from the Message. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let the petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. And this is from Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So both of these passages, Philippians and Romans, they're both letters from Paul written to two different churches. And so we're going to start by looking at the Philippians letter this morning. And Paul began this, or the passage we read today, began with the words, do not fret or worry. Now, at this, I may have already lost some of you. I'm not sure if any of you are like me, but I am a worrier. I don't know if there are any other worriers in the room today. But so when I first heard that, my immediate thought is something along the lines of, Paul, do you really understand what you're saying here? I mean, do you know what my life is like? I mean, I have to worry. Have you seen my to-do list? Are you aware of all the things I'm responsible for, of all of the people who are counting on me? I mean, come on, Paul, I have to worry, at least a little bit. But once my pride settles down, I remember that Paul has written this letter to the Philippians from jail. So that in itself, I suspect, brings a load of worry. And Paul has the added worry of the possibility of facing death, of execution, because he's in prison. Not only that, Paul, before he is arrested, has spent time traveling from place to place, preaching and teaching and starting new churches. And some of these churches are doing a little bit better than others. And some, there's some fighting or they've, you know, misinterpreted things and have turned away from the leadership he gave. And so in some cases, they may be floundering. And I am sure that Paul is worried about these churches or has reason to be worried about these churches he's helped to start. And so keeping all of this in mind and Paul's words to not fret or worry, and considering all the reasons Paul would have to worry, I find myself taking pause and saying, okay, Paul, maybe I reacted quickly. What else do you have for me? And so he says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Okay. And he goes on and he says, let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. When we read this in staff meeting this week, almost as soon as we had finished reading, Mark Jordan, our director of adult discipleship, jumped in and said, you know, it's really interesting because it doesn't say that your prayers will be answered, but it does say that you will have peace. And as Mark said these, I think this really resonated around the staff table as we thought about this, that it doesn't say that God is going to solve all of our worries, but it does say that we will have peace. Shape your worries into prayers and experience God's peace. So this leads us to the question, okay, well then what is prayer? How do we pray? Is there a right or wrong way to pray? Now, I would suspect that many of you, when you think of prayer, at least first and foremost, would think of it in the more like traditional or kind of formal sense, you know, head bowed, eyes closed, maybe on your knees or your hands folded together. Perhaps you think of that more formal time of prayer as part of your daily devotion or quiet time, either in the morning or before you go to bed, or maybe the prayer time you have before meals. And it's certain that all of these things are true and good ways to pray and that this is an important practice. But prayer is so much more than just those things. So often our prayer goes so much further beyond our words. I spent a lot of time this week thinking about some of the ways that I pray. And in addition to my quiet time every morning, there's a lot of other ways that I find myself in prayer. Some of you know that I'm a runner, and for me, running can be an act of prayer. Now, sometimes I run with other people, and so usually less so then, but when I'm running by myself, I often find that it's a way that I'm in prayer. And as a matter of fact, often when I am writing sermons, I intentionally make time to run as part of my sermon preparation. Now, I should say that when I'm running, it doesn't mean that the entire time is spent in prayer, me reflecting or deeply meditating on God or scripture or anything like that. As a matter of fact, I'm certain that depending on the course I'm running, I might be thinking things like, oh, I hate these hills or how much further or things like that. But I find that when I run, that it helps to relieve a lot of my stress and anxiety. It clears my head, and so that after a run, I'm usually more at peace. I'm usually able to see and hear a little more clearly, to listen to the things that God is trying to teach me. And regardless of whether or not you run or walk, I am confident that there are other ways and practices that you may or may not have discovered or acts of prayer. I know for some people who are really artistic, they talk about painting or drawing or even just coloring as an opportunity for prayer. Or for musicians, they may talk about whether it's listening to music or singing music or just playing the instruments that they play as an act of worship and prayer. I have one friend who's married with children who talks about washing the dishes as an important time of prayer for them. Washing the dishes is something that, you know, is done pretty much every day. And with a family, you have quite a few dishes. But it's also a task that doesn't require a lot of thought and focus. And so they found that in the midst of the busyness and craziness of work and family, that the dishes is a great time to stop and to reflect, to invite in the presence of God. Or I know another friend who prays every day while they make their bed. See, prayer doesn't have to be about necessarily on our knees, head bowed. Prayer is often those opportunities when we pause, when we take deep breaths, when we are able to reflect on the ways that God has been at work in our life, in our day, and to ask that we be reminded of the presence of God with us. When I was at Duke and Divinity School, all first-year students have to be a part of spiritual formation. And so we spend the year in small groups, and then as part of that, we also have to go on a retreat in the fall. And maybe I've talked about this before, but we all had to go on a silent retreat. Now, if you know me at all, really, you probably can guess that that was not exactly my cup of tea. But, you know, we had to go, and so I went, and I signed up for one, and there were about 30 of us on each retreat, and we had dinner and worship, and we were allowed to talk until that point, but then after worship, it was silence until lunch or after lunch the next day. Now, Friday night, I was kind of anxious and antsy. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I wasn't ready for bed yet, and thank goodness they had a craft room on retreat, because I was able to go into the craft room with the scissors and the paper and all the colors, and I just kind of really intently colored until I was ready to go to bed in silence that night. But when I woke up the next morning, it was a new day. I don't know if it was just the peace of knowing that I had to be in silence and that I had survived the night before, but there was something beautiful about it. And the retreat center was really beautiful and had these grounds, and it was a fall day, and I sat out on the patio and drank my coffee and had breakfast, and it was so peaceful. And there were other people on the patio too, and it was almost kind of nice to not have to feel pressure to speak to them, especially before my coffee has done its magic in the morning. And I just sat there on the patio, and then I walked around on the grounds and enjoyed the day. And I don't really remember spending much time that day, you know, intentionally like bowed in prayer. But what I was surprised to find is that it was an incredibly relaxing and life-giving and kind of holy, peaceful day. That it created the space by stopping everything else that was going on around me for me to experience peace and experience God. And in our staff this week, as we were talking about all of this and talking about prayer, we acknowledged that our culture doesn't seem to put much of any value on peace. Our culture values busyness. It values to-do lists about being the best, about how many things we can do or accomplish. To rest is laziness. But the thing is that we absolutely need it. And so prayer helps us to create those spaces of pause, of rest, of peace, to shut off everything else around us for a moment and focus on the presence of God. And sometimes that doesn't even require words. Sometimes we meet God most clearly in the silence. So hopefully this has at least helped to begin to answer how we can go about praying. But it still may leave out there, what is prayer? Or more significantly, why do we pray? In a disciples path, which is a curriculum that many of you have done, and we ask anyone who's interested in joining the church to participate in, they spend a whole week talking about prayer, and it says this. Now, the primary purpose of prayer is to enable us to live an intimate relationship with God so that we become the agents of God's saving purpose in the world. The primary purpose of prayer is to enable us to live in an intimate relationship with God so that we become agents of God's saving purpose in the world. Which means that the why of prayer is about developing and strengthening our relationship with God. Which all the more affirms why it's not something that always requires words. I mean, for most of us, it starts there. When you think about your human relationships, most of them start with words. You usually have to have conversations and talk with people to first get to know them. But as your relationships with people get stronger, they involve much more than talking. You do things together. You're involved in things together. And often, one of the signs of a really good, strong relationship is when you can be together and not necessarily do anything or talk at all, but are just at peace being with one another. I think this is true in our human relationships, but I think it's also true in our relationship with God. Now, like our own strong human relationships, it takes intentionality, it takes investment. But if the why of prayer, if the primary purpose of prayer is to enable us to live in intimate relationships with God, then that begins to change our understanding of how and why we pray. That prayer becomes less of a laundry list of requests for ourselves and for others, for the things and people we care about. It becomes less of a habit that we do before meals, and instead it becomes about intimacy, about relationship. When you know someone really well, if you think about the people who you are closest with, when you know people really well, you're usually able to anticipate their reaction to a situation, or the things that they might say, or what they might do. And I think that this is similarly true in our relationship with God. And while we as humans have limitations to what we can know about God, I think that the more time we spend in prayer with God, as we continue to strengthen and develop that relationship, that the heart, the desires, the truth of God becomes more and more of us. The Message says, translates Paul's words as, a sense of God's wholeness settles you down. I think not only does this wholeness settle us down, but it helps us to be more fully and wholly like God and to know the heart and mind of God. I think that makes it easier for us to discern the will of God when we spend more time in prayer, when that relationship is stronger. And I think it makes us easier to find and experience that peace of God. I can think of quite a few instances when, whether it's been a church member or another friend who's been sick or awaiting a diagnosis or something like that, and there's a lot of anxiety and worry about what the results might be, but then you talk to them, and even before they get the results, there's just this incredible peace about them. That even though the results may not turn out as they hope, that they just have this peace and comfort, that knowing that God is present with them, that God's peace is with them. And I think this is in large part because of their prayers and the prayers of others. Now, I want to take a moment to be clear that just because you are anxious about something or worried or stressed doesn't mean that if you had just prayed harder, it would have been okay. Because there are certainly chemical factors within ourselves that lead to anxiety and stress. And there's all kind of environmental factors and the stress and pressure of our culture that creates all of this. But I do think that prayer can help. And we also know that it's true that even if we are incredibly stressed or worried or weighed down and we don't feel peace, that doesn't mean that God isn't present. In Romans 8:26, Paul says this, that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. The New Living Translation says, the Holy Spirit prays with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And we've all been there. Whether it's because of great physical pain from injury or illness, whether it's this deep emotional pain, grief, or despair, agony, where we find ourselves groaning, crying. Perhaps we utter the words, help. Perhaps we have no words at all. And it's this weak, desperate act of prayer. But Paul tells us that the Spirit intercedes, that the Spirit groans and cries with us. And especially if we have that intimate relationship with God, especially if we are faithful in our prayer life, then it's almost like having a close friend or a sibling or a spouse or someone there grieving with you. And the stronger, the more intimate your relationship with God is, the more likely you are to experience that peace. You know, there's a lot of things that we don't know about God, a lot of things that we don't know about prayer and times that it seems to work and seems maybe to not, but here is what I do know. First, that prayer is hard work. There's a reason why we call this a spiritual discipline, because it takes discipline, it takes commitment and intentionality, it takes effort. But it is a discipline that bears much fruit. The second thing that I know is that I have never regretted time I've spent in prayer. I've never spent time in prayer and then later thought, you know, I really wish I hadn't done that. I wish I just would have watched Netflix instead. I think that would have been a better use of my time. Like, that's never happened. But there have been times in my life when I have regretted not spending time in prayer about things that I probably should have. And the third thing I know is this, is that prayer makes a difference. It may not fix everything in the ways that we might want them to be fixed, but I do know that the better my prayer life is, the more often I experience God's peace. The more committed I am to prayer and investing in that relationship with God, the more real and alive God's presence is in my life. The easier it is for me to know that God is around me and with me and to experience that peace. Paul says this, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. Let us pray. God, we confess that so often we do not make time to spend with you as we should. That, God, that we don't set aside that time to be in prayer with you. And God, we ask for your forgiveness. God, we pray that even just for this week, that you would help us to be more intentional about setting aside that time to spend with you. And that, God, that you would help us to see and recognize the ways that you speak to us and that we can be in prayer through our daily lives and routines. God, we want to know you more deeply. God, we want to be overwhelmed by the sense of your wholeness so that we may experience your peace, and God, so that we may be better witnesses of your light and love in the world. And so, God, we ask in this time of prayer that you help us to continue to strengthen that relationship, that the desires of your heart may become the desires of ours, so that we may radiate your presence to the world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Will you stand with us?